Good morning, everyone. It's 9:03, so I will get started. We might be joined by a few more people. I'm expecting 18 total participants, but we might rarely get everyone all on the same day. I see that many of you have muted your microphones, which is good etiquette for a video call. I recommend that everyone keep themselves muted except when they need to speak or ask a question, in which case you can unmute yourself. If a lot of noise is coming from somewhere, I might mute everyone, in which case you will have to unmute yourself. If once I mute you, I can't unmute you. Welcome to the beginning of Indigenous Ed 359. This is officially a 300 level language course. But we have designed a very special version of it to try to meet the needs of as many participants as possible. Many of you have been studying your language for years. Others of you are completely new to the language. For that reason, we will be using our time in June to review the language from the very beginning. I plan to cover 8 units of our teen and adult lessons over the next 6 class days, from June 22nd through June 28th. That means that we have to do 2 units today, 2 units tomorrow, and then we'll have Wednesday to review and practice those. Then on Friday, I'll start introducing units 5 and 6. I'm recording this lecture right now. I'm only recording my own voice, not your voices, and not the video. This is for people who can't make the meeting but want to listen to the lecture later, and for people who want to re-listen to the lecture to catch what they missed. Before I plunge into the syllabus, I wonder if we should go around and have everyone introduce themselves. I will call on your name based on the order that you appear in my list and invite you to introduce yourself to the group. Mayath, wa mahsak yakik. I'm giving Bev an opportunity to introduce herself. Jew Mayas, Hinatinius, wa mahsa haqiqik. Jew Hinatinius, Kleko, Sutis Ma'utl, wa mahsa haqiqik. Charlotte, would you like to introduce yourself? Charlotte may have stepped away from her computer, or she may be having trouble unmuting herself. So I'm going to go on to Ciela. Ciela, would you like to introduce yourself? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Charlotte. I am recording some of our lectures, including this one. I paused it for a few minutes just now while you were all introducing yourselves, because since I'm recording only my voice, that would have just left a bunch of silence on the recording. But now I have restarted the recording because I'm about to start going through the syllabus. At the end of the day, I will post whatever recordings I've made of the day's lectures to our course webpage. So let's take a look at that now. I'm going to start sharing my screen. You should all see the course webpage, which I'm showing on my screen right now. When I've shared my screen before, some of the feedback I've gotten is that it looks too small to people. You can play with the layout of your screen by by going to the lower right. You'll see that there's a control that looks like three dots in a vertical line. You click on that and you can change your layout. You can play with that until you find the layout that you like. Another way to play with the layout is to go to the upper right. You should see an icon that looks like one person standing behind another, and right now it has the number 14 floating above it, which means that there are 14 participants in the call. If you click on that icon, you should see a complete list of all the participants. And if you hover over a participant, you'll find that one of the things you can do is pin one participant. So if you want to make sure that you see in here mainly me, you can pin me in the list of participants. We're now going to look at the course webpage. This is your portal to all the materials, most of the materials that we're going to use for the course. You'll see that there's a link to the syllabus. This is what the syllabus looks like. There's also a list of resources. You'll see that some of these resources have links and some don't. The ones that have links all go to this page, which is the curriculum and lessons page on Quistoup.net. This page has resources like the survival conversations, first words, the alphabet summary handout, which we will be using today, and the rhythm handout, which we will also be using today. There's a couple of forms linked from our course webpage. One is the instruction hours form. This is only for enrolled students. You will be reporting your hours in class and outside of class to me at the end of every month. But I recommend that you download this form today and start keeping track of your hours as soon as today's course is over. As soon as today's course is over, you can record on this form how many hours you spent in class today. Then on the longer line, you will write a brief description of how you practiced outside of class and how many hours you did that. And at the end of the week, you will total your hours. This will be important information for my grading. And also, enrolled students, all of the enrolled students have to meet certain required numbers of hours. Some of you have to get as much as 140 hours. Others of you just have to get 40 in-class hours in order to get credit for IED1359. On the course webpage, there's also a mentorship hours form. This is for you to apply for your mentors to be paid. Those of you who are lucky enough to have an elder mentor, Kokoetsu Language Society will pay your mentor to work with you. You just need to keep track of their hours and submit them using this form. Once you fill out the information, you'll send it to Anna Masu, who's the coordinator for QLS. Here's where the recordings of lectures are going to go once we have some recordings. There are no recordings yet. At the very bottom of the course webpage are various links. Some of these go to important information about how UVic makes learning accessible to people with disabilities, UVic's policy on equity, on academic integrity, and details of UVic's grading policies. These are things that normally get piled up onto the syllabus and make the syllabus very long. I keep the syllabus as short as possible by putting these links on the course webpage. So here's where you can come if you want to explore these further. I'm now going to start going through the syllabus. Some of you might find it convenient to have these documents open on your own computers and flip back and forth. There's a very useful keyboard shortcut that I use all the time. On my on a PC, the shortcut is Alt-Tab. And on a Mac, I believe it is Command Tab. This is a very useful shortcut if you are in a vi if you're in a video meeting like this and you're also trying to look at a bunch of files. This shortcut will allow you to quickly jump back and forth amongst the different windows on your computer. So that might work for some of you. Others of you might just prefer to look at what I choose to show you when I'm presenting. And others of you might find that you really want to print things up and put them on paper. That's up to you. I make these resources available to you, but it's up to you to access them and keep them handy. As I said, this course is officially a 300-level course. We will be doing the first 8 units of our adult lessons over the next week. That will constitute the beginning portion of the course in June. In July and August, we will be doing 90 in-class hours of intermediate and advanced units, and that will be the core of the course. There will be 4 meetings in September, and I intend to use those for review, but we will decide closer to that date what exactly we're going to review on our September dates. If you are enrolled in this course, it is very important that you attend according to your attendance plan. Every participant has an attendance plan. Some of you are planned to be here every single day. You're going to rack up a lot of practice time, and I think that you will see a dramatic improvement in how well you speak your language. Others of you are spending less time with us. This all depends on what your needs are and what your availability is. If you, as I said, you all have an attendance plan, and if you need to change your attendance plan, I just ask that you get in touch with me and let me know so that we can work that out. This helps me plan, especially for our one-on-one sessions. I try to make opportunities for people to practice their language with other learners. We're going to be doing that in what I call one-on-one sessions. I really don't know how that's going to go. We're going to try it for the first time today and see how it works. But one of the things that helps me plan those is knowing who's going to be there on each day. Here's the same list of resources that you'll find on the course webpage. I'll briefly say what each of these resources is. We'll be looking at these much more carefully later. The Survival Conversations are 30 mini conversations. That is, I call them mini conversations because they have one line for one person and one line for another person. This allows 2 people to have 30 very basic conversations on a number of important topics. The Survival Conversations were chosen very carefully to be some of the most useful language that you can learn. And we're going to start learning these today, starting with the greetings and classroom categories. Immersion sets are more developed versions of the survival conversations. Immersion sets are collections of words and sentences on a particular topic that act kind of like a menu, whereas the survival conversations are highly scripted. You have no options of how the survival conversations go. You just follow the script. West Coast immersion sets give you a little bit more freedom. You have a restricted menu from which to choose, and this will allow you to make slightly more complicated conversations on a number of selected topics. Domain sets is not sentences, but words. Lists of words in targeted topics such as kitchen, home, school, and so on. First words is a list of 1,000 words that I recommend learning first before any other words. Some of you will find this very useful. If it works for you, I highly recommend looking at the first 200 words of the first words, counting how many you know and how many you don't know, and starting to memorize a few each week. If this method works for you, you can rapidly build your vocabulary, starting with some of the most important words. However, something I found with the first words is that for most people, it is not such a useful learning tool. It's more useful for instructors who want to plan out what words they're going to teach their students over a course or over a year. So, first words mainly useful for teachers, also useful to some learners. Language circle lessons are going to be the main lessons that we use. I am almost ready to release the newest version of these lessons. The ones that are still up on this page are still outdated. So we will be looking at a few of these today, but these will soon be replaced by updated versions. Last, PK stories. I would really like to use the PK stories in this course, but none of them is ready to use yet. These are practical and traditional stories, but simplified for learners. That is, they're told not the way they would be told by fully fluent speakers, but in a simpler way that is easier for learners to follow and easy enough for learners to start to learn to tell these stories themselves. As I said, we might or might not get to use these in the course. We will be doing a lot of fluency practice in class. This will be made more difficult by the fact that we can't be in the same place. This is one of the things that we're going to have to experiment with, how well our fluency practice works. But the way that the rough plan that I hope to follow each day is we will start the day by reviewing whatever we were last studying. Today is the only day when we won't be doing that because we have this is our first day and we haven't done anything yet. But usually we will be using this first hour to review and practice whatever we were practicing the day before. Then at some point I will break us into one-on-one practice, and some of you will be signing off from the main video meeting and meeting with your partners to practice. And then once that practice is over, you will rejoin us. Enrolled students are expected to present what they've been practicing. So after the one-on-ones are over and everyone rejoins the meeting, we will hear presentations from the enrolled students who will demonstrate what they've been practicing. Once the enrolled students have demonstrated what they've learned, there will be opportunities for the auditors to demonstrate what they're learning as well. We out of the 18 participants that I'm expecting for this course, seven are enrolled students. So the enrolled students, of course, will have priority with some things. Assignment three. So I'm reviewing our assignments now. The oral review in the first hour will be considered assignment one, and I will mark you based on how well you appear to be mastering that material. Your presentations of what you've been learning will be assignment two. Whatever your practice is outside the course will constitute assignment three. Your outside practice can consist of listening to audio recordings. And if you listen to audio recordings, then you should engage in both active and passive listening. Passive listening means you just listen. Active listening means that you speak along with the recording that you're listening to. Active listening takes significantly more effort than passive listening, but active listening helps you build your fluency. Assignment four will be assessment. You will be assessed, enrolled students, that is, will be assessed once or twice according to the evaluation standard or the first word standard. Level one of the evaluation standard is that you have to have memorized 80% of the 30 survival conversations. Several of you have already passed that level, others of you have not. The first word standard is a way of measuring your vocabulary. I ask you about 20% of the words in one block of the first words. If you appear to know 90% of those words, then we say that you know the words in that block, and that gives us a rough measure of your vocabulary. That assessment, some of that assessment might happen in class, so I will probably ask people to volunteer to be assessed in front of everyone. other assessment will happen outside of class, just between you and me. Those are the four assignments for the course. There's a section on the syllabus explaining how you will be marked. I'll let you read that yourself and ask me questions if you have any. Last are some important messages from the University of Victoria about UVic's equity statement, how it makes its courses accessible, what academic integrity means, how to fill out course experience surveys, and last, on page three of the syllabus, I point you to either to me or to Deanna Nicholson if you need anything. If you have questions about the content of the course and your assignments, you should talk to me. If you have questions about your enrollment and your relationship with the university, you should probably contact Deanna about those. The fourth page of the syllabus is our course schedule. The diagram at the top of page four shows how many class hours we're doing each of the 34 days of the course. You'll see that the very first day in the upper left is June 22nd, and today is a 4-hour day, which means we start at 9, break at 12 for lunch, come back at 12:30, and we're done at 1:30 for 4 total class hours. Tuesday and Wednesday this week are short days. That is, they're only 3 hours long. We start at 9 and end at noon. The next thing on the schedule is a breakdown of how I expect long days and short days to go. You'll see that according to both of these schedules, roughly the first hour of the course will be oral review of the previous day's what we learned the previous day. Then there will be a half hour of one-on-one practice, then a half hour of presentations. Then there will be roughly an hour lecture where I will present new material. And last, we will have what I call a debriefing period, which is to talk about anything that requires further discussion, and it's also an opportunity for you to ask your long questions. I welcome short questions at any time. Please feel free to unmute yourself and break in with a question or to write it in the chat window at any time. If it's a short clarification question, I'll probably answer it immediately. I think that that is answering short clarification questions is very important to help everyone stay together. And often there will be just tiny little things that you need to know. Once you know them, you're able to follow along. Other times, I might say that's a longer question that we'll deal with in the debriefing period. So, anytime you have a difficult or a long question, I might tell you to write it down, or you can do that yourself. I recommend that as you go, as you're studying, and as you're listening to the presentations, write down any difficult or important questions that you want to deal with and save them for the debriefing period. We will probably not get to all of them, so you will need to prioritize your tougher questions, and I will also prioritize the questions. I might say that's more advanced than we have time to deal with today, but we will deal with that another day. Or I might say, let's deal with this higher priority question first, and then if we have time, we'll deal with these lower priority questions. That is the purpose of the debriefing period. Please. The main reason we're meeting Thursday through Sunday in July and August is to allow as many people to participate as possible. There are some people who can only participate on the weekends, and there are some people who can only participate on Thursday and Friday. Thank you. The very last thing in the syllabus is the planned order of topics. This is a very ambitious series of topics. I would like to touch on 32 different units over the 4 months of the course. If we keep to that pace, that means 4 units per week, which might be too fast. So we will constantly reevaluate as we're going. whether we want to do more material fast at a faster pace or less material at a slower pace. There's trade-offs both ways. If we do less material, that gives us more chance to practice that material, and we'll get better at that beginning and intermediate material, but then we'll never get to some of the interesting advanced stuff. Despite the fact that we have 120 hours of in-class time from now through September, that's still just scratching the surface of how many hours it takes to learn to speak a language. So my feeling is that you can't possibly get all the practice time that you need in this course, despite its length. But something I can give you in this course is a little bit of information on a lot of topics that will help start you down those topics and show you how to study them further after this course is over. I'm pretty sure that we will do 8 units over the next 6 class days, but once we get into July, we will be reevaluating our pace, and I'll be asking you guys for feedback about that. This concludes my review of the syllabus. Are there any questions on the syllabus before I move on? Please. If you stay with us, if you come to class every day in June, July, and August, then by the end of August, I expect that you will have mastered most or all of the survival conversations, that your pronunciation, if your pronunciation is not already good, your pronunciation will be a little better than it is now. Probably none of us will have perfect pronunciation, even after this course is over. And you will, all of you will have learned a few things that you didn't know before. Some of you will know a lot of things you didn't know before. Those of you who are advanced learners, there's still a lot of new stuff that I think you will find in this course. So I expect everyone to be further along in their pronunciation and their understanding of topics and their comfort with the language by the end of August. None of us will be fluent, none of us will have mastered every bit of the material. By the end of August, you will definitely know the basics of word structure and sentence structure. Unit 8, which we will be covering at the end of this week, is on basic sentence structure. Once we get into the intermediate units, we will also be talking about basic word structure. I have some materials for you that to use as references. I have a handout on word structure and a handout on common mood endings. These types of things only take a short time to start to grasp the concept, but they take a long time to master. So you will not know how to say everything that you would want to say. You will know the basics, though. You will know, for example, that when you're saying something in Nichanal that you've never said before, you should probably start by deciding what the predicate you want is. Then pick the mood ending that you want. And that might be all you need to do to make your sentence. If it's a complicated sentence, then there's a lot more to know. Does that kind of answer your question, Charlotte? Okay. Any other questions on the syllabus? Good. According to our schedule, we have 23 minutes left in our first hour. I want to be sure to give you at least a 5 minute break every hour, so we will be stopping no later than 9:55. And if I'm starting to go past 9:55, please speak up and tell me it's time for a break. How do we recommend that it's time to take a break? This is one of our survival conversations. Shout it out if you know. Huuk'setu'aklen, Chu. For those of you who don't know that, you can find that by going to this page, the curriculum and lessons page. Hinnatinius is Hue'et, so she speaks the East Barkly Sound dialect. These are the survival conversations for East Barkly Sound. And in the classroom category, you'll see that sentence 14a is Huuk'setu'aklen. Shall we take a break? This is one of our basic sentences that I expect everyone to, most of you to have mastered by the second week of the course. Please go ahead. Yes. East. There's at the top of this page, you'll see there's a breakdown of tribes by dialect region. And the East Barkly Sound region includes Huwayit, Hupachasat, Tshishat, and Uchucklosit. West Barkly Sound is Tiquad and Ucluelet. So if we're breaking at 9:55, that means we have about 15 minutes for me to introduce some very basic information on our first two units, which are alphabet and rhythm. For now, we're going to practice these two units using some of the resources on this page. So right now you can watch me access them, but as soon as we break into our one-on-ones, you're going to need to access these yourselves. So please pay close attention to how to get there. You can get to this page, Curriculum and Lessons for New Chanelf, starting at our course webpage. Go down to Resources, and here's a link to the Curriculum and Lessons page of Kustoop.net. Click on that link. And it brings you here. Today we will be using the alphabet summary handout, which I've just highlighted. Someone speak up. Can you see it when I highlight things? Oh, good. Okay, so this alphabet summary handout is one of the things we'll be using today. You'll see that there are five versions, one for East Barkly Sound, one for West Barkly Sound, one for Central, one for Northern, and one for Cayuga Checklist. These handouts are all nearly identical, just slightly different for each dialect. And this will allow us to allow you to follow along in whatever dialect you're studying, but also allow us all to stay together. The other handout we'll be using this morning is the rhythm handout down here, LC Lesson 2, Rhythm. You'll see that this handout is only available in three versions, one for Barkly Sound, one for Ahauzit Tloquit, and one for Cayuga Checklist. So for now, you'll just have to use whichever one is closest to the dialect you're studying. If you're studying Northern dialect, I recommend using the Central handout because that'll be more like your dialect than the Cayuga Checklist one. Let's take a look at the alphabet summary handout. So I'm going to open all five of these. Here's the East Barkly Sound alphabet handout. Here's the West Barkly Sound one, Central, Northern, Cayuga Checklist. We're going to stick with the East Barkly Sound one for now. Part one of the handout lists the 45 letters of the New Chanelf alphabet in alphabetical order. This is the order that we would use in a word list or dictionary to organize words. Alphabetical order is meaningless. It's just an arbitrary order that we use to make it easier to find things. Section 2 lists the letters of the alphabet according to how they're made. You'll see a chart here. The rows of the chart represent different types of sound: plain plosives, hard plosives, spirants, plain resonance, hard resonance, high vowels, mid vowels, and low vowels. These are different kinds of sounds. The two main kinds of sounds are consonants and vowels. You'll see that there are three main kinds of consonants in Nichanov: plosives, spirants, and resonants. Understanding the difference between these three types of sound will make it easier for you to understand certain sound patterns that we'll be learning. The columns of the chart correspond to where in the vocal tract the sound is made. You'll see that there are four main columns: the lips, the tongue tip, the tongue back, and the throat. So, for example, P and M are both sounds that are made with the lips, which is why they're in the lips column. T, S, N, and Y are all made with the tip of the tongue. K, Q, X, and W are made with the back of the tongue. H, glottal stop, and pharyngeal stop are made in the throat. This organization of the sounds of Nichanov is meaningful, unlike the alphabetical order in one. And there are certain patterns that this organization makes easier to see and that can really help you to understand certain sound patterns in the language. Some people learn well in this analytical way. I'm a linguist, as you know, so I tend to see patterns in the language in this technical way, and I look for the pattern and try to understand it and to be able to explain it. Other people do not learn well that way, so each of you is going to have to figure out for yourself if you're the type, if you're an analytical type of learner like me, that is, if you like to really understand and be able to describe the patterns and use that as a shortcut to your learning, or if you're a more intuitive learner who does not do so well with analysis. If you are an intuitive learner, then you will be better served by using your time to practice, practice, practice the language. The more you practice the language, speak it, hear how it sounds, the faster you will gradually start to get a sense of what sounds right and what doesn't sound right in the language. That's a rough description of how an intuitive learner learns, as opposed to an analytical learner. Part three of the alphabet handout lists 44 words, one example word for every letter. You'll notice I said 44, not 45, because no dialect uses every sound. The sounds that are unusual in some dialects are short E and short O. Short E sounds are used only in Barkly Sound dialects, with a few small exceptions. And the short O is only used in Cayucan Chicholset and in no other dialect. As for the long E and long O, these sounds are common in the southern dialects, in Barkly Sound and central regions, but much less common in the northern regions, northern dialects and Cayucan Chicholset. Other sounds that are rare include the back X's and the front X's, for that matter. None of the X's is a particularly common sound. One of your goals today will be to achieve some familiarity with every single letter. You should learn the name of every letter, and you should be able to pronounce its example word. It's also useful to memorize the example word for each letter. These example words can be very useful for certain things. They're very useful for learners and teachers who are teaching learners. So if someone asks, how is the back X pronounced? I will usually explain it using the example word chachashkuk. Chachashkuk is our usual example word for the back X. The example words are also useful if you are working with a fluent elder who does not read or write phonetics. Let's say you're working with a fluent elder who speaks and pronounces the language perfectly well, but doesn't read or write the language. Lots of us are in this situation. One of the things that we struggle with as English speakers, I believe all of us are native speakers of English. A handful of you also grew up hearing Nuchanov. Most of you did not. So most of you are native English speakers who are learning Nuchanov as a second language. And one of the things that we really struggle with, for example, is distinguishing the K and Q sounds. You'll see that our example word for K is kook, which is a packed lunch, kook. Our example word for Q is hawi, which means salmonberry. Kawi. If you're a beginner, you probably can't even tell what the difference is between K and Q yet. K sounds like this, ka ka ka, kook. Q sounds like this, ka ka ka, kawi. Once you are an intermediate learner, you will probably know how to pronounce the difference between K and Q, but you will still find that you have a lot of trouble hearing the difference. It takes much longer for our ears to be trained to tell these sounds apart. And you can use these example words with your elder mentor. When you come upon a new word, and you're not sure whether it has a K or a Q in it, you can ask, does this word have a K like kook or a Q like kawi? That's a question that a fluent speaker can answer regardless of whether or not they can read. Do you see what I mean? Even if the person doesn't know how to read or write Nuchanoth, they can probably tell you that sounds more like the k of kook than like the k of kawi. That is another one of the uses of the alphabet example words. In just a minute, I'm going to go down the list and pronounce every example word for the East Barkly Sound dialect. I'm going to suggest that you all pronounce with me as we go through. Once we finish pronouncing all of the example words for the East Barkly Sound dialect, then I will take questions from people who want to hear how the words sound in their dialect. Most of these words are the same in every dialect. There's just a few that are different. That'll take a few minutes. Then at 9:55, we will break. And then at 10 o'clock, I'm going to ask several of you to do one-on-ones with each other. In this morning's email, I sent the teams that I'm proposing we use in the one-on-one session. And in each case, I've listed the person whose English name comes first in alphabetical order first. That person who's listed first is the person who I recommend should initiate the call. And I also recommend that you initiate these calls using Google Hangouts. If we're all using the same system to communicate with each other, then things will run more smoothly. So the people who will be initiating the calls to their partners are Lindsay P, Bev, Ciela, Geneva, and Dawn. Dawn and actually Dawn and Randy Lee, I think that your partners are not here. Is that right? Neither Geneva nor Lindsay H is here today. Okay. Yeah, so in that case, Randy Lee and Don, you two will be partners, and Don, you will initiate the call because your name comes first in alphabetical order. I am really curious to see how this goes. We're gonna give it a shot, and then at 10:30, we're all gonna come back together in this meeting. You can rejoin the meeting by clicking on the same link that you clicked on to join at 9 o'clock. So when we all come back together at 10:30, I will ask to hear from all of you about how it went with the one-on-ones. Were you able to connect? Was it easy or was it difficult? What can we do in the future to make it easier? Others of you, I'm suggesting will stay and practice with me. That will be Charlotte, Marina, Melanie, and Tess. I don't think that Jerry and Grace are here today, but Jerry and Grace, if you are here now, then please practice with me at 10 o'clock. All right, let's go through the alphabet example words and then we'll take our break. I'm looking at the East Barkly Sound alphabet summary handout. I'm going to start with the example word for short A, which is putt-putt. Short A says Everyone say Now say putt putt. Putt putt. We're going to do this for every letter. Are you all with me? Please speak up if you have any questions. Long A says ah. It sounds different from short A, and it's twice as long. Ah. The example word for long A is wa, to say. Wa. Plain C says ts. Ts. It sounds like a T and an S at the same time. The example word is tsapin. Tsapin. Hard C says ts. It's the same as plain C, but with glottalization. We will be saying a lot more about glottalization later, so if you don't understand it yet, don't worry, we will be addressing it. The example word for hard C is tsawak. Tsawak. I hope that everyone is speaking out loud. Please don't be shy. The more you speak out loud, the faster your pronunciation will improve. C wedge says ch, ch, as in chuckup, chuckup. Hard C wedge says ch, ch, as in chuppets, chuppets. Short E says eh, as in we-itch, we-itch. Long E says eh. Notice it is twice as long as short E. Eh, as in epinus, epinus. Plain H says huh, just like in English, as in husman, husman. Back H says ha, ha. We will be talking more about how to make the back H. So if you don't get it yet, that's okay. We will address this. Our example word for back H, is hayu, hayu. Short I says I, as in himix, himix. Long I says E, as in teach, teach. I'm going to stop there for now because we have reached our break time. Please take your 5 minute break, and then at 10 o'clock, you will either be rejoining me here to practice with me, or you will be joining your conversation partner. At 10 o'clock. At 10:30, we will all come back together and talk about how the one-on-ones went. Chooch, huxa tu atlin. Let's take a break. Huxa tu atlin.